All right, everybody. I know the summer heat's melting your ice cubes, wherever they may be, your drink, or whatever else they may be. But let me tell you what.
Welcome.
I'm wearing Tommy John underwear, so I'm not as hot as I normally am when I'm playing golf, or even hanging out at the beach, or running, or whatever.
Tim Matthews,
the summer heat's melting everything in the world right now.
Take it away, boys.
You know, you can keep a tall boy on ice, and that's what
I'm trying to tell you. The crowd goes crazy. Welcome to Golf Talk America.
Tommy John is much cooler.
Today we'll be talking about what's going on. Second round of the
breathable, lightweight fabric with four times the stretch.
The season is almost over. It's getting ready for, well, whatever they're going to call it, the next season. Because
Tommy John will keep you looking and feeling good all season long.
So we'll talk about whether you're lounging at home
or
just involved
in some summertime
Steve
fun.
Johnson, our good friend,
that's why
partners
Tommy
with
John
Hank Haney Golf,
okay,
and his own golf ranch.
If you wear
in the
Tommy
Dallas
John,
area,
you'll be a fanatic too.
He's going to be joining us here very shortly.
They've got 17 million pairs that
whatever
have been
comes
sold.
Up, and
people
I'm thinking
Tommy John's underwear
might be involved in
and
that.
And their loungewear.
So whatever
okay?
hot topics,
I have all of their products.
The airwaves,
okay,
they'll be coming your way.
I like
we appreciate each and every one of you being here with us.
Slow
as always, and Frank Bassett in the Nashville studios. How you doing, Frank?
Hey, welcome into the junior high school spitball contest between LIV Golf and the PGA Tour. Boys, you know, between those
actually,
two guys,
you are.
In fact, it's just you're up to junior high school football spinners with millions of dollars.
Tommy John's
with a lot of money.
Unbelievable crap that's going on right
underwear,
now.
And there's no risk,
which I think is the way that it kind of goes. And that's why
Tommy
I've
John's
said
best
at some point
you'll ever wear,
they will have an agreement
guarantee
of some sort.
So here's what I want you to do, folks. I want
you
to shop TommyJohn.com/countdown.
But
right
until
now,
that happens,
for 20% off,
until there's the divorce papers
order.
Are signed,
that's 20%
there's the
off your first door.
Back and forth, and there's hanging, and then you said this, and
off
then
right
I said
now.
This.
TommyJohn.com/countdown.
The three
so
sides
Tommy
to
John
every story.
TommyJohn.com.
Okay. Three sides.
Countdown.
One of those sides is the truth.
See site for details.
Yeah.
Period.
So
somewhere.
So we'll see what all comes out of it. But they're still talking. Lee Westwood had some comments.
Oh, brother.
Yesterday about what's transpiring, yeah, what's happening. And by the way, big announcement, which we'll talk about, involving the PGA Tour, but also in connection with what's going on with the LIV Tour, because suddenly, again, PGA Tour finds new bags of money laying around that they didn't apparently know they had that is now being thrown at the players.
Oh, God.
And, yeah, my skepticism is at all time high. So that we'll talk about that as well. But, yeah, it's kind of crazy to see how – by the way – before we get into all that stuff, Frank, what did you think? First round of the Tour Championship in the books at Eastlake. What did you think about the first round?
Okay. Well, that's okay.
Really?
Just
not much.
Just not much. Really, not much. Just ho hum play.
Boring golf.
Yeah. Well, not boring.
Other than
but just
Rory,
ho hum play.
Put on a
well,
show.
Roy put on a show. I mean, Roy put on the Hollywood
he
Squares
did, what,
version of the PGA Tour Championship.
Shot like 42-28 or something, right? I mean, like, where the heck is that guy got going? He had like what two triple pars, I think, in his
triple
in his
on
round.
One, triple on one, and he shoots 3 under par. Okay, all right,
triple on one, bogey on two. He was 4 over,
yeah,
and still 4 over after the first two holes, and still shoots a 67.
Yeah,
so yeah, people are talking about that, saying one of the most bizarre rounds of golf you're ever going to see.
That scorecard looks awful. It looks like a war wound.
Eagles, triple bogeys. I mean, it's just a little bit of everything. So, yeah, it was. But other than that, probably not a lot of drama.
No,
although, you got to give Scottie Scheffler credit. You know, a lot of pressure. And certainly more pressure on guys, I guess, maybe more pressure on guys near the bottom, trying to make up some room. But Scottie had pressure, too, that everybody's gunning for him. He's got the top seed. He's the number one guy, the two-stroke lead over everybody and more over a lot of other guys, and still came in with a very nice little 65, a 5-under 65, including three straight birdies at the end of the round. And so he has a five-shot lead. Went into it with a two-shot lead over Cantlay, now has a five-shot lead over Xander Schauffele. So
Hey,
played a great round.
Got to interrupt before we bring Steve in real quick. Just got an email from PGA Tour, not PGA Tour Media or the PGA Tour, to me. And it says PGA membership review. Hello, dear. We have some concern issue about you PDA membership. Please review below. And it has a link. Think I ought to click that. Thank you, admin PGA. Think
I'm sure that's not a hacker. No.
Oh, no. I need to click that and see what the.
Can you read the Russian accent in those words?
I'm going to forward this to the head of media for the PGA Tour. They'll get a kick out of this.
Will they call you? Hey, what? Hey, honey?
Hey, dear. Hey, dear.
Hey,
hello, dear. Hello,
hey, dear. It's your new wife. It's your new wife from Moscow.
And these are the people that we worry about.
Yeah, gotta be careful.
Really got a problem with them?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Speaking of a guy who's hacked a few people, let's get Steve Johnson in here. There's our segue. Stevie, Ray J, how you doing today? You with us?
Hey guys.
Hey, yeah. Guys, I'm there. I was waiting in the waiting room for you guys.
We got you now.
Do you like the snacks in the green room we provide?
I'm just looking forward to your stories, Frank, is what I look for.
I tell no stories this week. I've got all sorts of issues going on, so I'm just going to be nice.
Steve,
with 85,000 new IRS agents, Frank is a kinder, gentler person with his mouth.
Ooh. Well, just think, Frank, that the bright spot is you get your student loan gets paid back for you.
That's a good thing. Yeah.
From 1976.
The one you've been dodging for 50 years.
The one you haven't paid on.
There was no such thing when I went to school.
Yeah. I don't want to get us too far off the rails, but it amazes me that loan deal. Now,
that's so stupid.
If you apply for college and you went to college, but you flunked out of college, do you still get the loan paid back?
Good question.
If you didn't graduate, still get the loan paid back?
I'm not sure of those details. Yeah, I'm not sure.
There's no.
They're also
you smoked pot the entire time and stayed stoned and never went to class.
They're also deciding if parents, like some parents, took out loans for their kids, same loan, just the parent instead of the kid, do they get that $10,000?
They do, but I did see this last night. They do get the same thing, but it pertains to the income level. So $125 or $250 for the couple.
Yeah.
So it's
got to be underneath that to get your
so
get the money back.
If you're underneath $125, you're probably eating.
But there's all kinds. Yeah, I mean, you're right, Steve. That is a whole other thing, because there's some people who just graduated and are only making 60 right now, but they're on the track to be making hundreds of thousands, and they're going to get their money back. But they're only the second year out of college.
Well, only 10 grand.
They haven't quite gotten their big money back. So there's all kinds of skepticism.
That's beer money at Ole Miss.
Who are we kidding? I mean, it's midterm elections are coming up. Right? In what,
exactly.
60 days or so?
Exactly.
So who are we kidding why this happened when it happened? So there we go. Inflation will probably just hit another. By the way, and here's my last thought on it, Steve. You went to Cal. Frank went to Ole Miss. I went to Southern Illinois. And all of those schools, when we went to school, and they're all ages ago for all three of us, were a fraction of what they are now. And I think the real problem we're looking at is colleges have to get reined in as far as what they're charging. You can go to in my case, a directional school, right? You can go to North Texas. You can go to Southern Illinois, Eastern Missouri, which you would normally not think as big time school. They are still $40,000 plus.
Yeah.
And pushing $50,000 to go to those schools. We're not talking about Ivy League. We're not talking about elite schools. Those are in the 70, 80, 90,000. That's just ridiculous. So that's my point, is stop making it so that people have to take out these loans and be $200,000 in the hole to get their degree from, again, Eastern Missouri.
Look.
Really?
You know, I don't know about you boys, but I know I just had a plumber out here this past week, and I just had a construction guy out here looking at redoing some gutters and things like that at my house. Those boys make a hell of a lot more money than attorneys.
So why are you going to college?
Yeah. I mean, let's go to
party.
I mean, come on. God, plumbers make a fortune. I mean, he's here
they
for 45
for
minutes, and it was $400.
That's what I asked, too. Guys put in landscaping in my house. I go, you're putting bushes in the ground. I mean, I think cavemen did that. And suddenly.
That's endearing. That's really endearing.
My bill's 10 grand. I'm like, for what? You did what?
Hey, Steve. Steve, we know you're here. We got to bring you back in, man. Look, live golf.
The guys that are doing great are the top 30 that are in the Tour Championship. If we're going to talk PGA Tour. These guys get in. They get a lot of bonus money. They've got a pool that they're going to be playing for this week, and they also have the ability to play in all the majors. When you make the top 30 and you get in any tournament you want to get in, you're fully exempt.
You're a winner, even if you're not a winner on the tour. Exactly.
Chicken dinner. Exactly.
Cam Smith wins the Tour Championship, and he jumps immediately. Of course, we know he's going to live. Does he still get in the majors?
I think he does.
Well, they haven't made a decision, right? Like Masters is not, I don't think, unless I missed it, has said anything yet about not inviting anybody to the Masters.
They want to do.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so my guess is, certainly if you're the champion at some point, if you're Phil, I think you're going to go to the Masters and they'll have you come. How they're going to rank the other ones as far as world points and all that kind of, I don't know. If you're a winner, that normally gets you into the Masters. Good question. Does that get you? I don't know. So that's kind of what we're going to have to figure out. And they're going to, at some point, solve. By the way, and I'll ask you, Steve, what you think about the live and everything. But there was a meme that I thought was hilarious that Greg Norman had sent out, and it was a guy looking over another guy, like a cartoon almost, looking over another guy's shoulder saying, hey, can I copy your homework? And the guy doing the homework goes, yeah, just don't make it obvious, right? Don't make it look too obvious. And it was Monahan and Junior Greg High. Norman, with Monahan looking over Greg's shoulder going, oh, let me do the same things you're doing. Is the PGA Tour's response, the announcement on Wednesday about all this new money coming in and everybody now gets $500,000 to be on tour and you don't have to go in the hole and all that, is all of that only because of Live Tour? Steve, was there any indication that that kind of stuff would be happening and a bump in all the different purses if there was not a threat from the Live Tour?
Well, I mean, if you believe Jay Monahan, they've been working on it for 10 years. You know, it's something that they've been working on. They've been noodling this. But, I mean, the players on the PGA Tour, back in the day, 97 to probably 2003, I mean, there's a phenomenon called the Tiger Woods effect, where because of Tiger's dominance, because of the timing for new television deal, sponsorships, the popularity of Tiger outside of the golf realm, you know, he was bigger than the sport, brought a lot of money to the sport. And I mean, there's been articles written about how all these players back in the day, Tiger Woods directly affected their ability to earn money. They probably earned at least 50% more than they would have if Tiger wouldn't have been there. Well, the Live Golf is exactly the same thing now, guys. The PGA Tour guys, the money, these $20 million events, these 20 events that the top 10 players are going to play. I mean, all of this money that they're throwing at this new PIP, whatever the heck that is just a way to dole out money. Yeah. It's all because of the Live. And I sent you a text the other day, Tim, and I said, the PGA Tour players ought to put some money together and build a statue of Greg Norman and Phil Mickelson and put it at the clubhouse at Sawgrass, because tell you what, the effect that they're having on the PGA Tour finances is much more than the Tiger Woods effect.
Yeah, it is pretty mind-boggling how suddenly, and the PIP that you're talking about has been in effect for a couple of years. They doubled it. It was at $50 million bonus pool for the guys that got a lot of social media attention. And that, for a lot of people thought, inspired the whole DeChambeau-Koepka fake feud, right? So that people had tweeted, suddenly they'd go from 2 million followers to 5 million, and they'd get a $10 million bonus for doing it. Well, that part is out, the social media, but now it's going to be views on TV, different matrix, if you will, that they figure that out. But it's a $100 million pool for the top 20 guys. That's 5 million each if they split it up, which won't be. Somebody's going to get 20, 25 million out of that if they happen to be Ricky Fowler or something. Not about what they're winning and everything, just popularity, that they're seeing a lot, that people, that money, where'd that come from? That was doubled for doing that. So yeah, I think there's a lot of things that are happening because of what the Live Tour did. Lee Westwood just commented yesterday that he thinks it's very hypocritical. I'm curious of the PGA Tour and their players that they're criticizing the Live guys, and yet now here they are doing a lot of the same things the Live Tour guys are doing, which is all playing in the same event. Getting money, getting guaranteed money, if you will. They're starting. Can you explain that one, Frank, for a lot of people that don't know, if you understand it well, the whole $500,000 deal that goes to guys? Do you know, is that for everybody? Is it just for newcomers on the tour? Or does everybody get $500,000 to start the season with?
I think it's more newcomers on the tour. I'm not sure. To be honest, I haven't read the whole email that they sent us. Okay. I've been tied up.
But it's not.
But here's the thing I heard, Steve.
$500,000, though, Frank. It's not a gift of $500,000.
No.
What it is, it's advance up front on earnings.
Yeah, right. advance on earnings. But here's what I heard. They're going to give them the $500,000 up front? Why in the world would you give a rookie or somebody coming in a $500,000 in their bank account to get started?
And he goes to Vegas and it's all gone?
Yeah. Why wouldn't you dole it out monthly or quarterly or something?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
holy moly.
You would hope that the money management would be part of the equation. But
well, that is an answer to what a lot of people have criticized, which is the you don't make the cut, you lose money. And the answer to that is, okay, we will now give you $500,000 so that if you don't make any money, you keep going to, you're a rookie or whoever.
You don't have to pay it back.
that you keep going to tournaments, but you keep missing the first five cuts.
But if you win $100,000 in the first tournament, then that goes against the $500,000 advance you've gotten.
Yeah, but what they're trying to do is prevent what we've all talked about, which is if you go to your first five events, as a lot of guys do, and miss all cuts, you're in the hole $50,000 or whatever it costs, right? For those five events and travel, your caddy, your coaches, your instructors. I mean, Steve Johnson as an instructor gets paid whether or not you're making cuts or not making cuts. There's a percentage thing, but you're still having to pay the swing coaches and all these. So you're in the hole for all that. This $500,000 is supposed to now alleviate that pressure and say, okay, I can still pay these different things I have to pay, even if I'm missing a few cuts to get the season started off and not have to go call mom and dad and my friends at the country club and say, Frank, can you send me that $10,000? You know, that's what they're trying to prevent, which to me was ridiculous. They ever let it get that far. It never should have been that way where guys have to do it. And I think that is going back to Phil's comments about how greedy, whatever he called them, right? The greedy SOBs on the PGA Tour, and that's who runs it. That's the way he looked at it is, you guys got money. Why are you making young strugglers, not me, but young struggling golfers have to go into their pockets or their parents' pockets to make a career out of being, they've got a tour card. You're letting them play, but they're going in their own pockets to play. LeBron didn't have to do that. None of these other guys. So that's where you're saying Phil needs a statue and tongue in cheek, but that was his point. So, you know, suddenly now the tour's got the money.
A lot of these guys too, Tim, you know, a lot of the guys that are coming out, when they do make the PGA Tour, it's an opportunity to spend more money. It's an opportunity to work harder. It's an opportunity to play in the best against the best in the world. And now a lot of these kids are under the illusion that the faucet is never going to turn off. Once they get up there, hey, you know what? I'm going to be making a bunch of money for 20 years. I mean, I hope this doesn't happen, but number three official money winner on the PGA Tour this year, $9.4 million, Will Zelikow, no telling how long he's going to be out with his back issues.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it can be over so quickly. I mean, we both have a very good friend in Paul Stankowski who had chronic wrist injuries, got operated, that couldn't find relief. Cole Most, same thing. I mean, you can go down the list of players that had the dreams of, hey, you know what? This is it finally paid off. I made it and I'm going to really enjoy this. They get injured and they're out. The average of the PGA Tour, Tim, turns over 50% every 5 years.
That's right.
So every 5 years, there's guys that are cycling off the tour. And somebody was telling me this morning, Brian Honey, my superintendent, was saying, hey, you know what? This David Lingmerth is part of the Corn Ferry Finals. He said, I thought he won the Memorial not too long ago. I said, yeah. And there's a lot of retreads on that.
How quick we go flat with the tire.
Oh, my God.
We're joined by Steve Johnson with Hank Haney Golf and the Golf Ranch in the Dallas area. We'll tell you more about that. It's a great facility if you're ever in this area to work on your game. Bring your coach out there and have him work with you on your game. So we'll tell you a little bit more about that. But I'm curious, when you bring all this up, Steve, your ex, your good friend, but former pupil, which was Scott Pinkney. And you worked with Scott for a number of years. He was on the tour. Mm-hmm. And I guess the best he got was probably right here. Was he was runner up for the Byron Nelson. Is that right? About five years ago?
Yeah, that was his best finish. He made his first year's rookie year on the PGA Tour. Now, this was a kid that played in two, at the time they were nationwide events, but you call them Corn Ferry now. He played in two events the year before, missed both cuts. He came in last place. It was the last year of the tour school, the PGA Tour school, as we know it, the six rounds and all that. He came in last place. The following year he got his card, played on the web.com or the Corn Ferry, made enough money, got in the finals, got his tour card. First year on the PGA Tour, the big show, he made like $1 million. He thought, man, it's, you know, it's just a whole different league now. He's buying, he's spending money, he's buying stuff. And then he's had chronic back issues throughout, you know, even stemming back to his college days, he still has a medic. He can play 19 Corn Ferry events on a medical exemption, but after that, he has nothing. So, and he's not playing right now. So, I mean,
how old is he?
Turn off very quickly.
Yeah. How old is he?
He is 33 years old now. 33.
Yeah, should be in the prime of his career, which everybody right. would kind of think, oh, there he is. He's already been on tour for 5-7 years. And it's a glorious, wonderful, rich life flying private jets. He's the normal guy. He's the one that if you will, I think, Phil and some others that are saying, here's what we need to do to change, are trying to say, there's the guys we're trying to help. That's the right. It's not the 30 guys. It's not Spieth and Morikawa and all these guys. Yeah, they're set. They've had a wonderful streak, and it's all good, and they're healthy. But most of the guys are like that are kind of up and down, back and forth. Frank, how about Stephen Bowditch? Stephen Bowditch, yeah. 4 or 5 years ago, won 2 times in 1 year.
Saw a replay of I watched the Payne Stewart Award, and they were showing previous awards and recipients, and I saw Bowditch in the audience a couple of times, and that made me feel really bad for him.
And suddenly his game's gone. Yeah. And it could be psychological. It could be health-wise. But they don't all have these long careers. And people say, well, there's a pension. Well, those pensions are all tied to starts and cuts made. So, yeah, as long as you can hang around long enough, you've got a pretty good pension. But as Steve said, every 5 years, half the guys are gone. And they're working with Steve at the golf ranch.
Well, and not even
that high up the food chain in a lot of cases.
But guys, not only financially, because – there's an example, a local kid here, Hunter Mahan, who's made a ton of money.
Sure.
$37 million on official money on the tour. He's made probably at least half of that again in endorsements. But he lost his game. And who he was a golfer. I mean, it's a tremendous psychological weight when not only he doesn't have to worry about money for the rest of his life. I mean, he's got some cars. He's taken care of. I mean, I don't think he doesn't travel like he used to. So his spending habits are not like they were. I mean, he's got plenty of cash to make it, but psychologically, man, it weighs on you.
Got to kill you. Yeah. Got to kill you emotionally.
Sure, your identity.
That's almost worse than the financial aspect of it.
Yeah.
When these guys lose their games, they just, I mean, they go into depression. I mean, it's depression brings on so many other issues.
Yeah, potentially.
Some of the guys that are fortunate, they can replace it with, like, I know Hunter's. I mean, he's being a good dad and he's watching his girls grow up and all that. But I mean, there's a lot of guys that golf was all they had. That was it.
Yeah.
And when it's over, man, they crash.
Well, and it's like we were talking about Stankowski. You know, what he turned to, which a lot of them do, is some version of a golf existence, right? He made leather goods for golfers, whether it was belts or scorecard covers, things like that. But it was all in the golf world. He'd go to the golf tour shows and things and merchandise shows. So they'd somehow kind of stay in that world, but they don't have the game to still compete until maybe the senior tour comes along. And so, you know, that's another aspect. We've talked about that. They need to lower that age possibly because there's a lot of guys. Hunter Mahan is probably... is he early 40s, Steve, maybe? 40-ish, right? Somewhere around
he's gotta
there?
He's got to be early 40s.
Yeah.
I'm going to look him up here. I'm going to fact check myself on this.
He might be able to have his game back by the time the Champions Tour comes. But that still could be 10 years. Well, what do you do for 10 years in that time?
Yeah.
Like Stankowski, right? Had to wait and do it. So the point is nobody thinks these guys should get handouts. And oh, you're on the PGA Tour. Let's give you all kinds of money even if you're not winning. That's fine. There's guys in the NBA, NFL that you don't make the team anymore and you get cut and you're 25 years old. They go through that as well. All I'm saying, and I think the rest of us are saying, is when the money comes up about golf, people have this misnotion that, oh, it's these guys are all rich. They're all flying private because they all think of Tiger and Phil and the handful of guys. The real world is the guys way below them that are still trying to make a living on the tour. That's just a PGA Tour. We're not even talking Korn Ferry and all the other Canadian tours and everything else. They don't make gobs of money, and they're all trying to – and nobody's there to help them, right? I mean, there's no – as far as, like you said, to try to get through Will Zalatoris, Will's on his own, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, Will's got money, and Will will be okay.
Well, certainly he has some insurance and things of that nature that will
help
him along, but he doesn't
have a team and an owner behind him. Jones saying, hey, go to our doctor, and hey, here's our rehab center. You don't have all that stuff that these other athletes have.
Yeah.
And I think they'll look at these other athletes and go, well, we're athletes like these guys. Why can't we have at least something like they have instead of it all on us? Like if LeBron has to score 30 a game to get his paycheck, and if he doesn't score 30, then he doesn't get his same paycheck.
Well, what does an NBA game bring in? What does an NFL game bring in revenue? And what does a PGA Tour event bring in revenue? A big difference.
Don't know.
Big difference.
Well, huge. Except for, let's say this though, Frank, I will say this, and this is kudos to the PGA Tour. A lot of that, what they bring in, they donate to charities, which the NBA and everybody else isn't doing, right? It's a profit source. So if they kept some of that money or
that's
most
all about
of it,
to change.
Instead of going to charity and it went to the players, that would be different. Now, would people be up in arms about that? That the charity, maybe they would, I don't know. But there's a difference. There's a lot of money that tour events make. We all know that. You see the tents and everything else.
It's but I'm talking in relation to, you know, the Buccaneers and the Titans playing a game. How much money does that one game bring in sitting here in Tampa or here in Nashville?
Yeah, with 70,000 people.
Yeah.
Millions. Don't know how much, but well, millions, yeah.
A lot more than a PGA Tour event.
It brings in a ton. But, Tim, you bring up a good point in the performance-based compensation. That's what it is for the PGA Tour player. It's performance-based based on how they finish. It's even performance-based on their endorsements, because a lot of these endorsements are tied to world ranking points.
Right.
So when you play well in a tournament, especially a tournament that has a strong field, you get more ranking points, and these dollar increments per point escalate. As you get more points, the dollar value increases. So when that faucet turns off, when you lose your game, you get injured, like a Will Zalatoris. A lot of those contracts are not guaranteed cash.
Right.
They're based on performance.
Right.
And that's something that the PGA Tour player, I mean, if I were on the PGA Tour, I'd say, hey, you know, guys, we got to take care of some guys. We're traveling a lot. We're practicing a lot. This is a lot of wear and tear on our bodies. Hey, we've got to have some type of safety net here. And not just, hey, you know what, when you fix that injury, you can come back and play in 19 events. That's not really a consolation.
And Steve, to your point, let's go back to Scott Pinckney, the guy that you worked with. I remember that I was there with you, and his whole family was celebrating. I think his parents might have been there, and on. And everybody was so happy that he got second place and roughly $800,000. But then you were telling me off to the side about exactly what you're saying there, which is, you know, he just went from – I'm making this up, but he went from 250 in the world to 175, you know, whatever it might have been, because he got second place. He goes, and now because of that, or he went from 175 to 99, because of that, he earned like per point another $3,000 per point. So he made like another $90,000 or $100,000 as a bonus, if you will, for moving up 30 spots or 80 spots in the world rankings. He got paid for doing this. So yeah, people don't realize that part either. And that's the big part that, yes, it helps on that side, but it goes down the other way too. If you suddenly are missing cuts and you can't make, then you go from being number 88 in the world to number 175, you're losing money, right?
Yeah.
So there's so many different parts. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so the one part is losing your game. Another part is getting injured. Another part is, hey, you know what? Now I'm subsidizing my whole family.
Yeah.
I mean, in Scott's case, I mean, he was paying his mom's mortgage. His dad needed help. His brother needed help. I mean, it was like all of a sudden, the
his
pressure
brother was
that
his
was
caddy.
Put on, well, yeah, but the pressure that was put on Scott was far beyond just playing good golf. I mean, his whole family depended on him, you know, raking in the money and bringing some money in. Well, and I told him, I said, bud, you've got to sock some away. So you've got an opportunity. You've got enough money where you can continue to play if something happens. Well, sure enough, that didn't happen. And so, I mean, he's back. I mean, it's just like, it's a recurring, like self-fulfilling prophecy. You know, when someone's used to being in the tank, they figure out a way to get in the tank, no matter how good they're doing. They're going to piss away money. They're going to, you know, be a good guy,
help
sponsor all his buddies. You know, I mean, they got the hangers on and all that. I mean, there are so many different levels and layers to this whole thing about these guys deserve. That's why when you ask about the live, Tim, great, great segue right there. These guys deserve whatever they can get. I mean, if some league is going to pay them millions and millions of dollars, more power to these guys, because for every one of these guys, there's 100 guys that are struggling.
All right. So, and I think they know that. They know that could be them, right?
Yes. Absolutely.
So they're like, okay. I mean, Bryson DeChambeau, nobody's crying for him, but Bryson DeChambeau had some injuries, and he probably have more with the way he's built his body and everything else. But Bryson DeChambeau is not nearly the hot item he was 2 years ago, right? He was nuclear red hot 2 years ago. Everybody wanted him, every piece of him. Now he's not there. And maybe he'll beat him. Maybe Ricky Fowler. So if somebody says, here's $100 million, and that'll alleviate a lot of that, how do you say no to that? How do you go, well, yeah, because I could become the next Jason Duffner, who used to be, but now I'm kind of just hoping to get asked to play in tournaments and hoping that I play well enough to, you know, make some money. Let me ask you this, Frank. Should there even be cuts? I mean, if you're playing, it's about the only sport that if you don't, you go and compete, but you only play half of it. And then if you're not good enough, they cut you loose and you got to go home. Should they even have cuts? And maybe you make the field smaller, but obviously
that was
tournaments accommodate 150 guys.
That was my answer.
All four rounds.
That was my answer. You have to make the field smaller. There's no way you can go 4 days with that many people and then have one little weather hiccup and get it in. You're going to be running into the next week every week.
Yeah. So if there's no cuts and it's 100 guys or something, whatever the number might be, is having a cut a dumb idea is my point. I know golf's all about tradition and golf's always done a lot of the same things, but I think we're kind of seeing a seismic shift in golf and the way golf is being played. Does it have to be 72
holes? I believe there should be cuts. I still believe there should be cuts, but I believe the people under the cut line should be compensated for their appearance that week because they're driving ticket sales too.
Yeah. I mean, they're putting in the effort.
Yeah. But I don't think that there should be a no cut golf tournament. No. I don't like that. No.
Yeah,
there has to be some added pressure outside of the fact you just have to play really well.
Well, don't you think though that, I mean, and this has come up, and Tiger, and I think hypocritically brought this up about the fact that, you know, where's the competitiveness if indeed you're getting guaranteed money, blah blah blah. Well, who's gotten more guaranteed money than Tiger Woods in the last 25 years?
Nobody.
Now, maybe not through golf, not from an entity, but as far as Nike and everybody else supporting him, he's made $1 billion doing this. So was he less competitive? Hell no. Everybody knew he was out to win. Well, still, even though he had money in the bank.
I don't think he's a comparable entity. I mean, you just can't use Tiger Woods and compare.
Well, no, why not? Why not? He's not alone.
Because
there's other guys
freak.
That are competitive.
He's Babe Ruth. He's a freak.
Okay, yeah. but that does. I'm saying the competitive part. I'm not saying how good he is, but I'm saying you don't think that just because you're guaranteeing Dustin Johnson money or Bryson DeChambeau to play in these live events that they're still not going to go out and try to hit every shot, try to hole out putts, try to win, try to do the best they can.
Well, I would say so. Yeah. Okay. I'll give you that.
So
go ahead, Frank.
No, I'll give you that. That's right. That competitive edge is important. I mean,
I don't think whether or not you've got guaranteed money, you're still trying to win deep.
Yeah. That competitive spirit runs really deep. I mean, I heard a story the other day, one of our teachers, Amy Rumatikin, she's same age as Scott Scheffler, and they used to play in tournaments, North Texas PGA events together. It was a co-ed division because they were so young. And she was a year or so older than Scotty. And she said when he hit a bad shot or when someone would beat him on a hole, I mean, he would go to pieces. And his father would be there walking with his other kids with the stroller and all that and shake his head. And he says, man, I hope he grows out of that someday. I mean, his competitive spirit started when he was, I mean, very, very early. So, I mean, the whole deal with the cuts and all that, the cream does rise to the top. So if you don't have a cut, you're going to get the best players typically up toward the top of the field. Right. Sometimes with the bad tee times, you know, you've got the morning and afternoon tee times, you can get a bad draw and miss the cut. But if you had no cut, you'd essentially have a live tournament because you'd have more than 48 guys, but you wouldn't have much more than that, Tim. They cut to 60 in ties now on the PGA Tour. They've got to have the flexibility in order to get the round in Mother Nature decides, hey, you know what? You're not playing right now. And
well, I'm just curious what players would think if you said, here's what we're going to do, and we're down to now 75 guys, but nobody's going to get cut. It obviously means some guys won't make the tournament. They won't get in. You can't get everybody in if you normally get 150. Is that a good or bad thing if you're a player? I don't know. I mean, I'd be curious to know if you're one of those down-the-field kind of guys. You know, that misses a number of cuts and you're kind of hanging on to your tour card. You need to be in tournaments. You're going to know, I want a bigger field. The bigger the field, the better. At least I get in and then have a shot at it. Maybe that's their thinking. I would do whatever I think is best for the players. And as far as I can tell, Steve, correct me if I'm wrong, are the players not calling a lot of these shots? That whole Tiger meeting, he and Ricky fly up on the jet and meet with the top 20 guys and all. Are the players calling the shots? Are they the ones saying to Monahan, here's what we want to do. Here's how we want to have this. Here's the changes we want. Make it happen. And Monahan just does what they say. Is that the structure?
You know, I don't know if it's quite that way, Tim. I really don't. My guess is no, because the players aren't saying anything unless just Monahan, Jay Monahan, is their mouthpiece and wants to be the fall guy on this. But when
Rory has made that statement that we run the tour, meaning the players. Now, he could just be hyperbole, but he's made that statement, and he's not alone, saying that the players, now they have their committee, right? Not every player gets a vote, but they have their committee of guys, Justin Thomas, Rory, those guys sit on these executive committees. They claim that they're the ones that make the, you know, it's a nonprofit organization, right, Frank? No profit being made there.
So 501c6.
So Monahan's just a volunteer, right? Just a $10 million a year volunteer. But 40. That's what they claim. And 40, it is 40. Is it a coincidence that they just had the big meeting, right, at Wilmington?
It's not a coincidence. Now,
I'm saying it's not a coincidence,
but
I know.
Well, they've all been subpoenaed now into the big lawsuit to find out what went on in that meeting.
Yeah. I mean,
Tiger, it makes
you curious.
Jay. And Jay wasn't there. Jay was not invited
right.
to that meeting.
It was just players. So, that's what I'm saying. Players. And out of that, now the 2 weeks later, Monahan says, here's some big changes. Here's the money's being up for these big events that we're going to have, the Dell and all the different terms. Arnold's aren't. They're all going to be bigger tournaments. We're going to have more guys going to the tournaments so we see the star players and not just hope and wish that if you go to Colonial or if you go to the Zurich or whatever, you see a handful of top players and then a bunch of guys you don't know. They're saying, okay, all that seemed to come out of that meeting in Wilmington, or at least it came right afterwards. So it does seem certainly more than coincidental.
I don't think they could have put all that together in a week or 2 weeks. I think a lot of it's been in the works for a long time.
I think so. But by the players too. I think a lot of them have said, here's what we need to do. And I think, you know, we've brought it up. So, if we've brought up the fact, Frank, that missing a cut shouldn't cost you money out of your pocket. If we brought that up and we've been talking about that for 4 years, tour guys have been talking about it.
The tour's position's always been to the players, play better. Play better.
Yeah.
Play better.
Right.
That's a bit of let 'em eat cake, isn't it?
Yeah, that's no, don't give me that play better crap. Let's do something about it.
Better.
And they finally have done that. And it was
forced by a ruptured
golf.
Yeah. I've got a ruptured disc. I'm trying to play better, but I can't. Well, then tough on you. Okay. Well, we'll see. And Steve, your point is well taken. Will Zalatoris. Let's see.
Two.
Doesn't he have two
discs?
Yes. Yeah, that's what I heard. Yeah.
Steve, would you miss the tour championship? None of us know his pain, right, or where he's at, or his doctor's advice. And Frank and I were talking to him yesterday. The chance to win $18 million, and he was, the third seed, so he had a very good chance to win $18 million. At the very least, you're looking at maybe winning $5 to $10 million for your place. Then you're not going to play in the President's Cup. If you're 25 years old and young and everything, Tony Romo played football games.
I wonder how his Aflac's going to pay that off.
Would you not take a shot or something, Steve, and still play in the tour championship?
No, not and risk your whole life, your whole career being paralyzed.
But you're not.
Two ruptured discs.
He's got a good team with him. He's Troy Van Beezen is one of his therapists.
Yeah, I know.
Josh Gregory. I mean, these guys are saying that, you know what? Hey, it's just not worth it. It's not where you could have irreparable damage. He would play if he could play. You can just tell. I don't know the guy from Adam. I see him on TV, but he's gonna. If he could compete, he is definitely gonna compete.
Who worked on him? Who was working on him out on the course? I thought it was Troy, and it wasn't.
It was a trainer, like a PGA Tour trainer. I'm sure that was out there doing, because they had him literally.
It was like
Jason Day-ish, right? He was like laying in the fairway.
Yeah.
With a guy.
Well, you saw when he stood him up and moved that arm to the right side, and then he twisted him the opposite way, and he flinched like, oh, my God, this is killing me. That's when he said, that's it, I'm out.
I'm not denying that it hurts. I'm not in any way. But did Tiger Woods not win a U.S. Open playing on a broken leg and a torn ligament in his knee? No, don't give me a well. Why was that not?
Well, it's different here, Tim, and let me explain why it's different. Okay. Because Tiger Woods was he was willing to withstand pain. But he wasn't willing to withstand pain for irreparable damage. They said, hey, there's nothing you can do to mess it up. It's going to be painful, but you're not going to hurt anything by trying to walk on it. It's going to hurt, but you're not going to damage anything. Well, I guess they didn't see him years later, you know, driving a car into the median and all that stuff. So,
but when your lower back like that, I mean, come on. Good Lord.
I'm just saying at 25, I get it if you're older and you kind of, but at 25, it seems like you can, I'm not seeing dirt on it. It's
okay.
Are
you saying, Tim, you saying be a man and tough it out? Is that what you're saying?
Tim.
I couldn't do any better than that.
Tim.
If I'm Will Zalatoris, I'm at Eastlake. And if I have to withdraw after the first round, because I really can't, but I at least give it a shot. I at least go there and say, I got to see if I can take some numbing, do whatever I need to do. Athletes all over the world play with injuries, and I would try and as best I can. If I couldn't make it because I can't walk, I would withdraw and I'd be okay.
We were just in a pro-am, Tim. We were just in a pro-am together in French Lick, Indiana, at the French Lick Resort, right? And somehow you were whining because it's so hot. My God, it's so hot.
Yes.
Hello? It was too hot to play almost? Frank. I think what you said? Tim.
You're trying so hard.
Tim.
No, I didn't. I wasn't quit playing.
Whiner.
Too hot.
Then you lose your wedge. You leave your wedge on the practice screen.
That's all.
Let me tell you a little bit about Tim Matthews.
Okay. Don't Tim, mute everything. Now. Don't listen. Go ahead.
You're liars. Go. Okay.
So Tim, he's a whiner. He'll whine.
Oh, I know. I know.
If it's free, he'll play three rounds of golf. If it's too hot. Correct?
Again, nothing. Correct, well, what's that got to do with me saying you got to toughen it up and play?
Oh, my God.
I'll play golf all the time.
Irreparable damage. Tiger Woods was not, he was going to be in pain, but it was not going to damage anything that hadn't been damaged. He wasn't going to damage anything else.
What about Cooper Manning when he had the issue with his neck and the vertebra in his neck, and they said, you play one more game and take the wrong hit, and you're paralyzed for life. It was Cooper.
Oh. Okay.
Cooper was the one who was the best athlete in the whole family before Peyton and Eli. Yeah. Well, he manages the family money.
He's goofy looking, though. He's goofy looking.
Oh, God.
I mean,
Cooper, buddy, if you listen to the show, we love you, pal. We love the whole Manning family, okay?
Don't record this. Yeah. I think he's kind of like one of the royal family deals. I think it's like an imprint.
Oh, God. The opinions expressed by guests on Golf Talk America do not necessarily exemplify our thoughts and our wishes toward anyone outside of the show. Thank you.
I'm telling you what. Don't cross-eyed. Argue with me on that point. Yeah, he's got a goofy look.
Yeah, he does got a goofiness.
Well, you remember when Kelly James at Jordan Spieth's event? I don't think Steve wasn't there. You were there, Tim, when Kelly James was performing on 17, and Cooper got up to hit a shot.
He customizes songs for people to know. For anybody who's in the team box, like a comedian.
Oh, he
and
just
he makes up lyrics. Oh. And gave Cooper the worst time ever. Oh. I don't know that he quite went where Steve's going.
No,
but
he did
close.
Yeah, talking about mongoloid, mongoloidism, and all. Yeah, great. Yeah. Okay,
oh,
gotcha.
Man. Yeah. Oh wow. Hey, I didn't go there.
What kind of dog? What kind of dogs he gonna buy? This is National Dog Day, boys. By the way, pet your dogs. Wow. And look, Tim, sorry about your loss. That's terrible. But you're babysitting your.
There's a random thought.
Your kids' doggies, but it is National Dog Day, and Steve is dogging Cooper Manning. So,
If I had to choose right now, I was a Weimaraner type guy. I love the Weimaraner.
Do you?
But I think Tim would too,
since he's a Weiner.
My second favorite is a Bernedoodle.
A what?
Bernese Mountain Dog in a.
Those are beautiful.
Bernedoodle. Yeah. Oh,
really?
Man.
I haven't seen that.
I'd have one, but they're like $8,000 or something. I mean, crazy expensive. Yeah.
I like my Schnauzer. Elephant. I love my miniature Schnauzer.
I'm watching my daughters. My daughter's in Europe with her husband, and we're watching their Australian Sheepadoodle. And he's 90 pounds.
Really?
90 freaking pounds. And last night, laying in bed, he decides he's going to sleep in our bed. And I feel this big dog jump on the bed and lay right between my wife and I. And we both kind of like, at 2 in the morning, we both kind of go, Okay. I guess that's the way that works.
So what do you feed him out of? Like a wash tub or a horse?
Yeah, like a trough.
A
big bowl.
And watering trough.
Said, here's how much he eats. And she filled the bowl, I go, that much each meal? She goes, well, yeah, but twice a day. And my old dog.
Oh, my God.
God bless her. My old dog ate like a handful of food.
Well,
literally.
It's National Dog Day.
She was 11 pounds. So quite the difference. Hey, Steve, before I let you go, let's get back to the Tour Championship. Who you liking? Is Scheffler unbeatable in this with his now 5-shot lead? And he looked very confident yesterday. Is he unbeatable for the $18 million big check.
Well, wait, knowing today, before you answer that, knowing today that it is lift clean and cheat. I mean, lift clean in place today. Ah,
really?
Yes,
it is. They're going to do it again?
Okay. Yes, they're doing it again.
Yesterday too. Man. I mean, he's tough. He's five shots up right now after one round. Yeah. I tell you what, I'm rooting for Cameron Smith, though. I'd love to see Cameron Smith. Yeah, oh, yeah. I'd love to see him do well.
And why is
that? He's eight shots back. Yeah. He's eight shots back. It's just a personal thing for me.
I love Cam Smith. I tell you what, boy, the guy's got so much game. It's unbelievable.
So let me ask you a question. Can I ask you one last question, Tim?
Certainly.
This is the start of the U.S. Open tennis this week. Big week, a couple weeks. Yes. Djokovic is not playing because he didn't get vaccinated.
Right.
What are your thoughts on that?
I don't understand the whole, at this point, should vaccination matter? And I don't think it should. I understand that was a rule a year ago and 2 years ago, but I think we should be, if we're not, and apparently everybody isn't, moving into a new era of, okay, it's there, it's going to be there. Let's treat it like it is. Get better if you can, but not like everybody's got to have a four boosters to do anything now.
And crazy.
If you're sick, you're sick. And just like if you had the flu and anything, and I'm not diminishing, I know it's more than the flu, but I'm saying people have been getting sick for years and years and they don't necessarily get kicked out of a tournament because they got sniffles or they got a flu or you just you try to do your best you can and get better. It's an outdoor activity too. I mean, it's it's not like he's doing something in a little room in a bubble. So I don't get it. I don't understand that. And I think it's unfair at this point. I know those are the rules, but I kind of think the rules have been, who's wearing masks anymore? Do you see masks around? I don't see many. They're certainly there, but I don't see the times have changed. And I don't think it's fair that he's not getting to play as the best player or one of the top two players in the world. I don't know if it's him or what's his name? But the Spaniard, but
what's his name?
Nadal.
Nadal, yeah.
Rafa Nadal.
Who's number one in the world? Nadal? Is Nadal number one or is
No, Joker? You know what? I think there's a young boy. I forget what his name is, but he's supposed to be very, very good. He's won a couple terms. He'd beat Djokovic and Nadal in two tournaments in the finals. Let me see. USTA, I'm gonna
Look at going to the left field here.
Tennis, golf.
There's a really good Russian. Medved? You're talking about Medved?
No. This kid's a Spaniard.
Oh, I do.
John Rahm.
I do know. Good one, Frank.
John Rahm.
Sergio Rahm.
Sergio Ramasilla.
By the way, can we get into the Cooper Rush thing with John Rahm?
The what?
What happened?
No, just in the appearance thing. Guy's going to drop 20 pounds.
Oh, stop it. Tim.
I'm tired of watching his fat ass.
You out of here. Steve, you should hear Tim when we're out somewhere at an event and we walk past people and three steps later he goes, my God, that person just needs to put down the fork. My God. Yeah. He just hammers fat people. You hate fat people.
I don't hate fat people. I do think it's preventable, and I do think it doesn't take a lot to be in a little bit of shape if you're a professional athlete. If I'm John Rahm, I don't want to ever watch myself play golf.
Push away from the dinner table.
I mean, God, seriously,
save yourself.
He's got a 60-year-old man's body.
God.
Wow.
Yeah.
Tim.
Anyway, God.
Nobody else on tour looks like John Rahm. Nobody.
Okay.
I mean, now that Colt Knows is back in the booth.
Just to circle us back here.
To tennis.
Medvedev is ranked number one.
Thank you.
Zverev, Nadal 3. Alcaraz is the Spaniard, the young kid. Carlos Alcaraz.
Carlos Alcaraz.
And then Novak Djokovic is ranked 6th.
That's weird because Djokovic is so good, but he doesn't get to play in the tournaments because they keep kicking him out.
He won't get vaccinated.
Right? Yeah.
He won't get vaccinated. He won't get vaccinated.
They won't get vaccinated.
Well, you know what? That's a bunch of lie anyway for another show, but the vaccines are horse manure. Watch TV and you tell me within 2 hours of watching television how many big pharma ads that you see. How many?
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
I think we set a record here, guys, today too on how many topics we talked about.
I think
on a golf show
and uninformed on all.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. When we have to rely on Cooper Rush, he's a quarterback for the Cowboys for people around the country.
Okay, so Steve Johnson.
We know we're going too far.
One golf tip for our amateurs that are listening to Golf Talk America, and then we'll talk about making a video and sending it in to you guys. But okay. one golf tip, big miss. What's the biggest miss that you see in amateurs?
Well, I mean, for beginners, getting the ball up in the air is a big deal. So, I mean, taking a golf lesson is one of the biggest shortcuts you can take to enjoying the game, because nobody enjoys the game that can't get the ball in the air. The ball, it's about ball flight. It's not about ball rolling. You know, it's not about ball skidding. It's about ball flight. So taking a lesson, put it up on a tee. There's so many teachers that you see that will put even beginners down on the ground. It's just no fun for them. Let them get the ball up in the air, see which way it's curving, then you can fix that. The typical biggest miss for guys that do get in the air, Frank, is a slice. So the slice is caused by the face being open to the path. All you got to do is get that club face closed to the path, and you have fixed the slice. It will not slice. Now you may have a different miss, but that's getting better. If you continue to have the same miss for years and years and years, you're not getting better. Your game plan is faulty. So
and I would agree. I would think the worst golfers you ever see, just the hackers, the guys that are out there playing. And first of all, have fun. So whatever you do, if you're having a good time, doesn't matter. But if you want to improve, the worst guys you ever see that can't break 100 and all that, have a slice like Steve's talking about. So cure that. If that's your problem, then cure that. And then maybe you can have a better game. You may not shoot 70, but that's the one thing to me that almost all is consistent with almost all bad golfers is they have a big slice. By the way, Art Sellinger agrees with you. Even to the point, and you're not saying while you're playing, as far as putting on a tee, Steve, you're saying as you're getting help or instructions or sitting on a range. Art even says, just to have fun and enjoy it, who cares? Nobody's keeping your score for you and all that kind of stuff. You're just playing with your buddies. He said, if you have to, put it up on a tee in the fairway or in the rough or wherever you're at, just so you can get the ball in the air for those guys that just hit ground ball after ground ball after ground ball. He goes, because if at the end of the day you have a good time and you enjoy the game of golf, that's what really matters. So,
Amen. Yeah.
He's like, don't worry about having to hit it off of it. Because for a lot of people, Frank, that's their biggest. They sit there and look at a ball on the ground, and that ground is so tight, and they're like, I can't get my club underneath there. Like, there's just right. That's
my biggest thing.
They just can't do it.
My biggest thing when people ask me questions, and they shouldn't, because I'm not a teacher. Yeah. Is hit the ball first. Take some practice swings and find out where that club is bottoming out, and then adjust it in your stance such that you hit the ball before you hit the ground. For God's sakes, hit the ball first, and don't try to pick it.
Should be fun. Should be a good time. Hey, Steve, what's your website for your facility if people happen to be in the Dallas area?
Well, you can go to champgolf.info. That's for teaching, champgolf.info. Or you can go to thegolfranch.net for our site here. The beautiful University of Texas at Dallas property.
Oh. Yeah. And where can they send a video to, a down-the-line video?
Well, send a video. I'm going to give you a different address here. It's sjohnson@championsgolftraining.com.
Champions is plural.
Champions with an S, golftraining.com.
Okay. And a down-the-line video means?
Down the line where I can see where you're aiming, I can see the target, I can see your swing shape. Tell me what your big miss is, and boom. I'm going to send you some remedies.
There you go.
Home remedies.
There you go.
Proven remedies.
It's like a big pot that Steve stirs with the home remedies.
Yes, it's like pho. It's pho for golf.
This segment brought to you by Tim Matthews School for Digestive Stapling.
Oh. We got to get a sponsor for
Put down the fork.
Oh, God, push away. All right, Steve, hey, we appreciate it. I know you got to get back on the tractor.
Okay, get a lot of thanks, rain,
Steve.
Guys.
I bet you the range is looking great. You got all this rain. Is it now beautiful and green?
It's beautiful. Our golf course is going to open. It looks like it's going to open Labor Day weekend. So we're anxious to get it open. And we want you to come out here, Tim.
Okay.
You bring the crowds with you.
I will be out there soon enough.
See, I didn't get invited, Tim.
Need to work.
I didn't get invited. So.
Well, you're welcome to come. You want to jump in a car?
Steve didn't say I was welcome to come.
Drive to Dallas?
We're open to the public, Frank.
We're open to the public, Frank. Just pay the fee.
Yeah, so not you. Everybody but you. All right, Steve. Take care, man.
Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, guys.
See you, buddy.
All right.
Bye-bye.
See you later. Steve Johnson. Did you get that? Every time we talk to him, he's got a different website, I guess. So now it's S. Johnson at Champions Golf Training. ChampionsGolfTraining.com.
Let's take a break.
I have friends of mine send him videos, and he, sure enough, gets back to him. It doesn't cost you anything, just so we're clear on that. It doesn't cost you anything. And he gives you some world-class of advice to say, you know, do this, move your hands, your hips are whatever it might be.
We were all over the place today. Holy moly.
Yeah, we did, didn't we?
Wow.
It's all right.
Well, we didn't follow anything today.
That's all right. Yeah. Yeah,
who cares?
Nobody pulled the plug. We're still talking. Frank? It's like this. Frank?
Hello?
Hello? Hello?
And, are you there? Hello?
I'm getting a call from John Rahm. My phone's ringing right now.
Oh, yeah. And Cooper Manning, the Manning family's attorney, is going to be calling Steve. Looks like part of the royal family. Jesus. God.
The Mannings are never going to be mistaken for... Yeah, whatever.
No, they
won't. Their nephew is on hell of a quarterback going to Texas. We'll see how that works out. You know, he's like the number one recruit for next year quarterback coming out of somewhere in Louisiana. And so he's going to go to Texas. So we'll see how he – but he's Arch, right? He goes by Arch. His grandfather's Archie. And, Arch Manning. So we'll see how that
Archie
plays
who?
Out. Are you going to watch today? You going to watch Scotty and the
Archie
boys?
Archie who? No, I'm going to play.
Oh, okay.
I'll watch it tonight.
Yeah. You're going to record it.
Yeah.
We'll see. Like, again, Scheffler has a 5-shot lead at 15-under, and Xander, who played very well himself, made up some ground, but he started behind him. That's the advantage for Scheffler. Scheffler only started with a 2-shot lead over Patrick Cantlay, and Cantlay shot even par, so Cantlay didn't gain any ground. He actually lost because Scotty was 5-under. And if he keeps that up, nobody's going to catch him. I mean, there's just no way. By the way, the last place guy, there's only 30. There's actually 29 because Zalatoris dropped out. All of them get $500,000 just for showing, just for being in there. And Zalatoris, by the way, gets his $500,000 because he qualified for it. Even though he won't play, he still gets $500,000 for being one of the 30 guys to make it to the Tour Championship. That's pretty cool incentive, right? As the season goes on, to make it to the Tour Championship for at least $500,000.
Yeah, not bad.
$18 million to first place. And then all the way down. Yeah, top 10 are all in the $1 million range. I think a 10th place guy gets
it. It used to be $10 million, and it was paid out over 10 years in an annuity, $1 million a year.
Yeah, and haven't times changed? And that wasn't that long ago. What's that, like 10, 12 years ago?
Not that far back, no?
Yeah. I mean, annuity? Really?
I know.
Really? Now they want the money now.
Show me the money.
The minute that putt goes in the hole, you better be in my account. So,
cha-ching. Anyway,
should be fun. Hey, I do have one last thing. I'm not thrilled, as my whining continues, I'm not thrilled with this event always being at Eastlake.
Well,
do you think it could move? It could change? It could go somewhere else?
That's a whole subject for another show right there. I mean, seriously, that's a 15-minute segment right there. Or 12-minute plus three for commercials.
I think it's a beautiful golf course, and I'm sure it's in fine condition, everything else. But it never is on anybody's list as an elite golf course. Or if somebody says, hey, where would you like to?
Well, you can't go play East Lake. It's a private club, period. Well, country club.
Any private place. I'm saying it never is as a course anybody mentions as if I could play there. I mean, Augusta, Pebble Beach, Pinehurst. I mean, all kinds of courses come up. Nobody says, I can't go
Bluegrass,
East Lake.
Country club, yeah.
So why do they keep playing at East Lake? I get the Bobby Jones old-time connection, but okay. So that was 100 years ago. Anyway, I just think it'd be nice to
Southern
move
Company and Coca-Cola have a lot to do with
I guess
that.
So, yeah.
A lot.
The sponsors.
And the East Lake Foundation, there's a lot to do with that.
I guess, but it's not thrilling to me. I'd like to see more different golf courses. But anyway, another show.
Yeah.
All right, hey, you mentioned that Invited used to be Club Corp. It's Invited. Invited.com is the website. Yeah. So if you're looking for a club to join, you want to play a little bit of golf, a lot of them are country clubs. So it's golf, it's tennis, it's pickleball.
Country clubs.
You name it. Well, I'm just saying some are just golf. But if you have other activities and family and stuff like that, check them out. Clubcorp.com still gets you there, but it is changing to Invited. Mm-hmm. The name change is taking effect. So check them out at clubcorp.com and find a course. Because if you're a member of one, like Frank is in Nashville, he can go to different parts of the country and get privileges at the clubs.
Yeah.
That are part of Club Corp all around the country. So it's a really, really cool thing.
And I will be on the course today. And after that tip that I got in pre-show today from Steve Johnson regarding my putting, I changed putters. I went to my PXG, which PXG, thank you so much. I'm a brand ambassador for PXG, and we absolutely love their products. I play them everything in the bag. And they've got a deal right now, by the way, $299 for that Gen 5 driver. That
but
is
only for a while, right?
It's going into this month. After that, it goes back to $499.
A few more days.
I was with the PX Chief Fitter, Travis Rowe, I call him T-Row Price, T-Row, the other day, and I took my clubs out. He said, bring your clubs out and let's see how you're hitting them. I hit some clubs and went through the bag and all that. And he started tweaking and making some adjustments. And that's what they'll do for you if you buy clubs from PXG. Yeah. They'll do that for you.
Yeah.
And so he did. And let me tell you.
Did it help?
Yes, it did. See. Now, my issue I had was with my putter going from a Scotty Cameron that I've putted with for 18 years. I just wouldn't change it. I've changed the grip twice, I think. I mean, I had – it looked ragged. But I putted well with it. Well, I wasn't putting as well with my new PXG putter. It's twice as heavy. But after the explanation Steve Johnson gave me, I'm going to try something a little different today, and I think that will cure it. I think he fixed me. So he did tell me that with that heavy a putter and that toe heel, that it gives you – it's more MOI. So you can hit it off center and still get the same effect. So I was, I guess, trying to steer it a little too much. So we're going to find out today. But their products are great. We love PXG, and – thank you, PXG, for everything you do. I love the products. Everybody at the club hates me because they see that beautiful bag with my name on it and all PXGs in it, and they say, Bassett, why don't you trade that in for a new Porsche?
I don't think that's why they hate you, Frank.
Probably not. Probably not.
I think there's other things.
You think?
Other things. Yeah.
Well, I'm not a whiner. I'm not a whiner.
We'll have to talk about those another time.
Not even on the show.
Not about that plumber or anything else.
No. Oh, God. Did I tell you how much the...
Yes.
God dang. Butt crack plumber came to the house the other day.
Go back to college. Get a degree in plumbing.
I'm going to pay off that college loan. I went to school on a full scholarship, by the way, so thank you. I had no loans.
Good. Worked out well. All right, buddy. We are out of time. Thanks so much for being with us. Hey, thanks to Steve Johnson for checking things out. We'll be back with Steve in a few weeks, get some more hot opinions, because we don't know where the world of golf is going to be. And there's a lot of drama going on, but it's not dull anymore when it comes to golf, between the PGA Tour, LIV Tour, and all the different people and the players involved in it. And good luck to all the guys at the Tour Championship as well. See how that shakes out on Sunday when it comes down to $18 million, maybe riding on a putt. Could be a lot of drama there. Thanks, everybody, for listening to us. We do appreciate each and every one of you. For Frank Bassett, I'm Tim Matthews. Be sure to join us next time right here on Golf Talk America.